Welcome, everybody. It got taken stock today. It is August 7th, 2024. Really excited to just have kind of a basic conversation today. We're sort of in between large guests at the moment. So maybe at the top, I'll talk just a bit about some of the upcoming things that we're looking forward to. Next week, very excited to have on Alexandra Merz, who's also known as Tesla Booma Mama. And I've done some speaking with her already, but long story short, she's a community activist for Tesla and kind of works in that investor space, did a lot of grassroots investor voting advocacy stuff, and has also just been dipping the toe into DRS, appeared on a show with her a couple of weeks ago, and excited for her to stop by here, and we can get into some details there. Following from that, we also are still scheduled to speak with Raza with Lumos. That's a kind of DAO of DAOs, sort of this broad governing community, which is trying to develop, I guess, maybe like a guideline or framework for how other, not as enfranchised, not as developed groups can enter the space and engage with their communities as an open and kind of holistic, accessible way. They were slated a couple weeks back, but had some things come up, so we're just looking forward to getting them back on in a couple weeks' time. Today, though, you know, along that same realm, I wanted to talk just a bit about some of the recent transparency tools that we have implemented in our community, and then maybe more broadly, touch on some of the mentality that goes into looking for these tools. For those who might be listening that aren't already a part of our Discord community, that's probably the largest single space where folks that are interested in this DRS advocacy congregate. We've just been consistently updating that, just brought on some more tools there, and that's mostly what I'm going to be talking about. So if you're interested in that, you happen to be listening at some point in the future, there will be a join link in the description of this episode if you would like to hop and join in. And on the subject of hopping and joining in, before I kind of talk about some of these things, just want to mention that anyone who does happen to be listening live on X, feel free to raise a hand or to request a speaker role. I'm more than happy to hear any perspective from community members or anyone even who isn't part of that community, but just wants to talk about these technologies. I think that can that's really the advantage of X as a platform. So I'm more than happy to invite anyone up for that. I'll keep an eye on that part of the screen here while we're chatting. So one thing I guess I'll start with is that Discord has not been, it wasn't our first choice necessarily for a community platform. And the core reason for that is because initially it appeared to us that it wasn't it's out of the box, it's not very transparent, I guess is how I'll say it. You know, there are asynchronous permissions amongst users. There's a server owner, which kind of can do anything, doesn't answer to anyone. And then, servers have freedom to set up different user roles, but the degree to which those roles are public and viewable, the degree to which the roles' permissions are accessible to regular users, even channel types, there can be whole communities within communities that are invisible to most members. That definitely can be a plus for some communities, but why was it not maybe the best fit in our minds as we were trying to build this DRS Discord community? Well, the main reason for that essentially is that we're trying to have a transparency-focused, equal access-focused community environment here. And what that means is that each individual not only has equal access to speak and share their perspective, they have the same expectation of others to present respectfully as others do of them, and they need to have a complete understanding of what the leadership is doing and thinking. Leadership's not a term that I'm, not always been comfortable with, because ideally in my head, folks could communicate on common grounds, the town square, and share their ideas and really kind of express them openly. But over time, there has been a need for some guardrails, essentially because sometimes, someone can be loud or persuasive or diligent in sharing their perspective, maybe if it's not a well-sourced perspective, and it can give, one impression over another impression. And the reason that I'm saying all this at the start here is because initially we were using we were looking at a different community platform called Lemmy for our, transition away from Reddit, since about a year ago now, a year and 2 months or so. Our broader DRS community was removed from Reddit, and that community had about 20,000 people, I think, when it was removed. So we needed, a new home. And the first thing that we thought of was, I shouldn't say that. It wasn't the first thing we thought of at all. What we did was search for many different community types, because there are tons of different message board structures out there. But we were trying to find one that had as much transparency as possible. And not just transparency, but individuality is not the right word. Maybe let's say a distance from some kind of central governing authority. Like, for example, on Reddit, where we had been based for years before that, although we did our best to comply with the rules as we understood them and communicate with site admins in order to confirm that our interpretations of those rules were correct, they still ultimately had the authority to remove the subreddit without warning. But this is part of the deal. When Reddit is paying all the hosting costs, Reddit has built this software platform that none of the users need to directly interact with or try to support. And the other side of that coin is that, you are operating under the good graces of, that central authoritative body. And so, for whatever reason, and I'm not going to get into the reasons right now, but essentially, they removed that our ability to congregate on that platform. So Lemmy, which is still active, and anyone is certainly welcome to stop by Lemmy and make an account and begin participating. That is also linked in the episode notes of every episode for taking stock. Lemmy is different, whereas it's structurally, from a user perspective, structurally very similar to Reddit. But the main difference here, I guess I would say that there's sort of two main differences here. The first is that it is self-hosted. And what that means is that it is something where we have a server that, we're paying for out of pocket. Different community members have, pooled private resources and are paying for server costs, paying for upkeep costs, energy costs, et cetera, associated with that. And that means that it cannot be taken down, even if like a web hosting client like Amazon or Google decided that they didn't want our business for that server. We could always local host, which essentially means running that server from a private computer and operating it that way. So there's no way that kind of community can ever be taken down from the outside looking in. And that's a really important thing, especially considering, in the past we had this massive community, and a lot of folks, unfortunately, were not able to make the transition away from Reddit because it was taken down without warning. We had nowhere to share these new locations. We had the Lemmy link up, I think, maybe 2 or 3 days before the sub went down, because the writing was a little bit on the wall from the way the conversation was going. But in any case, now we have this backup, and I'm very glad to have it there. And the other really cool thing about Lemmy is that it is open source. If you've been listening to Taking Stock for a while, you already know all about open source tech, but the long story short of it is that all the code is available for public review and scrutiny. And not only that, but anyone can make suggestions for improvement, can even write their own code and, provide that to whoever is, controlling the repository. That's kind of like the code base, the word for the code base, and help to improve the whole of the software in that way. But in addition, even if we didn't want to, if your contribution to the open source network, like if you think it's a great idea, you write this code, you think you can improve this product, but whichever governing authority controls that one open source account, you don't need them because you can just make a copy of everything and add that change to your own copy, and now you've made something your own. And through this way, open source platforms, they really can evolve over time and develop into the best version of themselves, thanks to the collective contribution of a wide variety of people, a tapestry of backgrounds and priorities all across the internet that are, coming one by one, seeing something that they think that they can improve and improving it. And so these platforms, they really become, I think they grow in an incredible way over time. And Lemmy's certainly not perfect, but it is also improving. So I think that's important to think about. That being said, it's not perfect. And we had a lot of issues with Lemmy where even our community, which has a couple hundred active members, I would say, when they are interacting with the Lemmy, it can be flooded. It can be kind of overburdened just with that. And it wasn't clear to us until we'd already gotten started that the scalability of it just wasn't really there at this time. And although there were some efforts to improve the code base from within our small community, small in comparison to other communities, those improvements have not really manifested enough. And so it's still not the most stable place to spend time. But if you're interested in a Reddit-like user environment and a DRS community, then it's absolutely there and will continue to be there. But, all of these shortcomings, they led to a need to seek something else. And that's kind of where the DRS Discord, which is a public Discord server, came about. Now, the Discord, for those who are listening who might not be aware of it, is another centralized platform like Reddit, where essentially groups of people, and there can be many thousands in a group, all congregate together to discuss some specific topic or set of topics. And it has some similarities with Reddit and Lemmy, but primarily it's like a real-time feed of text conversations back and forth between people. And out the box, as I mentioned earlier, it's not all that transparent. And that is an unfortunate thing, because the folks that are kind of heading the charge here with DRS have there's a perspective, definitely with why DRS. Of course, we can talk about, maybe I can talk a little bit about Duna and so on, but really folks should just go listen to the highlight episode on that from a few weeks ago. But really the idea here is to be transparent and accountable in all the actions that we can take in the community. And it's not just community members that need to follow the rules and need to be held accountable for what they say and what they do, but absolutely it's the people at the top of the list as well. The moderators or other prolific and active members, they need also to be held accountable. And the best way to do that, in my mind, is through kind of this passive accountability that you can grow over time through being transparent. And what does that mean? If you are clear and open about the actions that you take and about the rationale for those actions, And you can wrap in discussion, open discussion, and community involvement whenever you are looking to move forward with any given action. And then crucially, right, if there's a way to display that the intent, which was discussed ahead of time, that there's follow through and that those are the actions that are taken, then you can develop a trust, and you can have community confidence, and people, and my expectation is that people can then think, okay, well, it's all right that we have, every little thing being notated, because that's going to make it much easier to trace back and to see, okay, well, this individual, said they were going to do this and then they did it, or this individual said they were going to do that and then they did this other thing. And without kind of having these things in black and white, it's really hard to actually prove intent a lot of the time, especially on the internet in a text medium. So how do we get around that? And that's kind of wrapping back around to some of these new tools that we've implemented for this Discord community. One of the fascinating things about Discord, although it's a closed source platform, although it is a centrally controlled platform, in some ways that these things are very similar to Reddit. Technically, if we broke Discord TOS, they could take the server away. So we are, of course, being careful about that. But what people can do is there are tons of user commands that are available for the server. And so a lot of bots have been written, a bot meaning like a code base, a program, which interacts with the server in some specific way and provides a service that might not be available to users innately, or would be too cumbersome to make work like on a manual basis. And so we have recently implemented two new bots, which I've been really excited about. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about each of them, because I think that they're handy, and I'd love to see more, adoption of these sorts of things in other communities. But ultimately, that's up to those communities, of course. The first that I do want to touch on is called Sapphire. And this is a bot that where you can review. It runs entirely in Discord. All it does is it logs changes in channels that it can access. And so, for example, we had a bot before. I still have now, but it's not doing this anymore. A bot that would track when messages were deleted. And the reason we got this was because we had some community members that would instigate a lot of drama and create a kind of hostile environment in the channel at that time. And then sometimes, administrators would be asked to come in and try to dispel the environment and try to get things back into a more calm place. And then the person would delete all their messages, and we would not have a proper and complete context about what had happened, which made it very hard to not only to move forward with any kind of action in terms of trying to improve the situation for next time, but it also made it difficult for other community members to understand what had happened, to empathize with the people that were affected. It created an asynchronous information flow amongst people that happened to be there at that time and the ones who came in afterwards and could never review what those deleted messages were. So we found a bot that would be able to capture deleted messages and post a copy of them into a channel. This was months and months ago. But that's all it was really able to capture. It was not all that sophisticated. And one thing that moderators noticed, that I and others noticed quickly, was that individuals could edit their message to say a blank space or the letter A and then delete it, and the bot would only capture the letter A or the blank space. It would not, in that case, be able to realize that it had been edited. And then when it was deleted, it would only capture this other message. Now, thankfully, we chose not to publicize this vulnerability. And so most people did not, I don't think anyone over the period of time that we had that bot took advantage of this to hide it, or at least not that I'm aware of. Maybe some folks did. Who's to say? But the exciting thing about this new Sapphire bot that we found is that not only does it operate entirely within the parameters of the server, meaning that it's not running any kind of outside code, it's not asking of any additional information from users, it's all handled within the Discord client, but it also is paying close attention to all changes, or at least much more changes. I don't know if exactly all of them, but it can catch things like edits. It will provide the before and after of changed text, or it will notify about, if an emoji reaction is left or a emoji reaction is taken away. It can provide much more granular information about the flow of a conversation. And if someone is trying to recontextualize what they were saying in order to obfuscate, maybe not necessarily to obfuscate, but, I don't mean to derive an assumption about intent here. But point being, now it's made clear if an individual is, changing their words around, if their statement is interpreted one way, and then later it can be interpreted another way, you can see exactly when those changes were made, what those changes were. And it's very exciting to me. Although it's a lot of data, it's certainly a lot. If you ever go into that log channel and try to review it, it can be tough to piece together. But the nice thing is that most of the time, there's no need to do that. For example, myself, I have that channel muted. I could click and review it, but I don't get any notifications for it, as I don't see any need unless someone were to specifically draw attention to it and say, boy, this person said this really offensive thing, and then they changed their message. Now we can actually cite that. And the really cool thing about it, in my mind, is that users can delete their own messages, but they can't delete these log messages. So there is created this responsibility for the things that you say, and when you say them, and who you say them to, which didn't really exist before. And I think that's, even if it isn't used on a day-to-day or week-to-week or even month-to-month basis, I think it's so helpful to have this transparency of intent and this accountability of the things that you say. And again, not just for regular users, but for all users. If I go in and edit messages or delete messages, my things will show up in that log the same as anyone else's. And I think that's really, really important. And it's exciting to me to have this kind of equality, is a word. I don't know if it's the best word, but to have this kind of, equality of how the server treats all these different members. I think that's really important as well. The other bot that we have just improved, similar to Sapphire, is an improvement over a previous bot that we had in this server. It's something called Artemis, which is, it has replaced entirely this old bot we had called Double Counter. And that Double Counter bot is no longer present in the server. It's been kicked and removed, as its duties were entirely replaced. And so what was that? So both of these bots were fulfilling the same function, but one of them does it in a much different way, which is why we wanted to switch over. So what is that function? The intention is to prevent some single person from creating a bunch of different Discord accounts and then logging into all of them at the same time and using that to kind of manipulate sentiment in real time through crowding a conversation or doing something where, you know, if you have five accounts open and you and all five post like the same idea in different ways, all agreeing, it can create an impression of false consensus, or can derail other conversations that were happening. And similar to our old logging bot, the double counter, the old bot, was implemented because we had issues with that, where single individuals were making 5 or 10 Discord accounts and then just kind of trying to control narrative or control speech simply through drowning out the speech of others, which, you know, on an individual basis, people became frustrated by that. I am certainly sympathetic to that. And so we sought to implement a tool to watch over it. And crucially, the way that it does this is by tracking, it logs an IP address when you are using the server and notes that, you know, if any other Discord accounts are trying to use that same IP address, then it dismisses them. It does not allow them to access. Now, there are certainly ways to circumvent this, and I think I don't need to go into them here, but anyone, I would imagine, you know, it's definitely possible, but it is, quite a bit more arduous and would take more setup time, would take more sophisticated familiarity with IP. And so, thankfully, we seem to have pretty much entirely avoided similar issues that were causing a noticeable problem ever since we brought in that double counter bot. But that doesn't mean that it was a perfect match for the server. And a key reason for that is that this double counter bot, number one, it was closed source. So those IPs, they were being logged somewhere because the bot needed to draw against this this database of IPs for the server in order to ensure that no alts were present. But it wasn't clear from the outside looking in how that database worked. And it wasn't clear, it wasn't something that admins could access. But even if it were, without it being clearly visible to the end users, those who are actually volunteering their IP information, how that data is being held, then you're talking about a data vulnerability issue. Because IP, I guess there may be, if you're not as techie familiar, I apologize for not defining it, but long story short, it's sort of like it's an address or a location on the internet for your device, your internet ready device. And there can be identifying information attached to an IP address, as in like real world geographic identifying in some cases. So it's understandable that folks would want to protect this information. And we had an unfortunate side effect of some individuals who were valuable community members that, investigated the double counter bot, found its disclosure as far as how its systems operated lacking, and reasonably determined that, they would rather not continue to participate in the server, knowing that that they needed to undergo this kind of verification step with their IP. And we were very sympathetic to that, absolutely. But it seemed like, at the time, sort of like a lesser than two evil situation, unfortunately, because we had, the server was rendered unusable in some ways without this verification step. So losing a, non-zero but small percentage of users was really, really unfortunate, but better than making the space unusable through inaction. So it went on that way for several months. I'm not sure exactly how long, 4 or 6 months, something like this. And just recently, one of our community members found an incredible bot called Artemis, which services the exact same purpose. It tracks IP and, holds that in a database to ensure that, there's no easy duplicate accounts being used by the same individual at the same workspace. But it does all of that with an open source repository that is easy to see exactly how it works. And it's a closed system, which you can, you know, again, scrutinize for yourself on the GitHub page, where essentially the IPs are known to that local instance of Artemis, but they're not known to the admins of the server, and they're not known to the admins of Artemis, of the developing team that is publishing out updates to that code base. So it's plainly apparent that it is secure. And again, that it's so wonderful that an open source alternative was found, so that we can have the best of both worlds here, where an IP verification process is happening, and we can limit the exposure to some of these community risks that were coming from not having such a step. But we also are able to say with confidence that user data is safe, and that there's nothing to worry about. I'm just so overjoyed about this transition. And already, since bringing this on board a couple of days ago, we've had, I think, two, maybe three individuals that left, at that time when this other bot was implemented. We've had them, hear about or be told about the new bot, come back, perhaps they investigated for themselves and found that it met their security standards, and they rejoined the conversation. So I think that's really, really terrific, and maybe in a nutshell, emblematic of kind of how careful and how thoughtful a lot of the different community members that we're privileged to have are. So I'm really, really glad for that as well. Not to say anything about all the folks who hit that verification button in the last several months. I did too. I mean, point being, I think it's just a great thing that we've been able to move forward in this way. And those are the main two new bot tools that we've brought on board. And I talked a little bit about GitHub as the host for Artemis. GitHub, for those who don't know it, is kind of like the de facto go-to for, it's the platform for hosting code for open source projects. And GitHub itself is an open source project, which is really cool. And YDRS now, still building up the code base here, but for things like the YDRS database, and for things like the all the different graphs on the website, which track institutional or insider ownership, anything like the SEC comment tool or the IR email tool that we've built for YDRS, all these items, they had been running on private code bases that were controlled by community members just until a few months ago, where a great idea was posited to consolidate that. Why have it be disparate and spread amongst community members when it's so much better if we collect these code bases in a single place and can invite community members to review, to scrutinize, to contribute, and perhaps importantly of all of that is to see for themselves that the data, the DRS mission, the custody education, these are what it's really about for the people who are involved. It's not, there's no secret line of text, which is capturing email addresses or anything like that. It's all right there, and people can be confident that they're working with a service that has, that is surely only acting as a resource for them and is not seeking anything from them beyond that. Just looking to provide a service and distilled information. That was something crucial for me when we did build these SEC and IR email tools. That it would have been easier to create some kind of native client that you could type in your email address and we could forward it along. If we wanted to track how many people were using the tool or what they were submitting or who they were saying, what they were saying to which investor relations team, we would have been able to wrap in on that. But we could even have wrapped in on that without the user knowing it. But the conversation at the time, certainly my preference, is that individuals can freely use these tools as much or as little as they like. And that's not something that we need to be directly involved with, certainly not without a user consent. And one of the coolest things about transitioning to open source for this code base is that, you know, whereas at one point, you know, we have on that webpage now, it says something like, you know, why DRS does not collect any information when you use these tools. You know, we say that, and that is true, but it's not demonstrably true in the same way, because the full of that data, the whole of that data set is not on the GitHub. It's there in parts, but I think not quite all yet. So, I mean, we'll be continuing to work on that, but it's exciting to me that, you know, and I've never had anyone reach out and say, oh, you guys are taking our email addresses. You know, no one's ever actually accused me of that. But it's not really about being accused. It's about showing that we are deserving of trust, but not, we're not seeking trust. We're just displaying that we're not doing anything untoward, that, you know, the code is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. There's no additional capture of data, and users can operate freely with it. I think that's so important to be moving towards that, regardless of whether or not people are concerned. Even if we were, you know, the most trusted group that there was, and nobody would even dream of thinking that that we would stoop to this data kind of data collection, nobody would consider accusing us because it would be so far outside of character. Even then, it is not ever time to rest on the laurels and get lazy when it comes to providing that transparency. It needs to come first. It needs to be a driving ethos, beginning to end, is my thinking about it. So it's been really terrific to be part of a community which respects that and wants to help build tools to recognize that. And my my perception is that it will continue to pay out over time, where, you know, again, maybe today people have never really thought about those emails being captured or have not paid much attention to the specific language about data collection on our sites. But, you know, in the future, when we can prove that the code is doing exactly as it says, and show that we've always used this language and always had this priority, I think that's a really important thing. The data economy is a crazy place, and that's something I could, you know, we could wax on about for ages, but thankfully, you know, we're above that. I think it's more about the mission. And, you know, there's definitely an argument to be made that, you know, we could offer voluntary collection of data once we have the protocol available, you know, through the open source, you know, GitHub network. And if someone wants to use an email tool and wants to CC YDRS on the emails so that we can log it, or if someone wants to join in for a future newsletter or something like this, you know, that's fine. But it's the same kind of idea where we want to ensure that that folks know that through the kind of the open source disclosures and through our privacy and licensure policies, that we are going to be sticking exactly to the word of, you know, we'll only use the data for what we say we would be using it for, I suppose. And this is another reason why I'm excited to have filed as a legal entity, as a DUNA, and to move forward with our nonprofit paperwork, is because these also bring additional credibility in that, you know, we're going to continue to follow all the rules, dot the I's, cross the T's, of course, and to operate in a sense of transparency, of course. But before these filings, if we suddenly changed course one day, it's not as though there'd be any recourse. You know, private community can operate how it wishes, but introducing the legal framework and structure creates a further need for accountability and a further stringence to continue acting in a proper way towards the community. And that is exciting to me as well, and important to me as well, that we must uphold these standards and have it right there in our bylaws, you know, in our rule sets, and create a legal recourse for individuals. You know, goodness, you know, I don't ever want to change course from here, but let's say that something did happen where all of a sudden there was some kind of breach of trust, or something happened with data. There needs to be a way for individuals to seek, damages or whatever. They need to have a way to move forward from that. And so many of these projects, you know, they're operating kind of under their own graces. It's still a regulatory Wild West. YDRS, you know, the first DUNA on the books. So in a lot of ways, we can influence a proper standard for the future. And that's another reason why it's so important to make that bar high and then cross that bar. Yeah, can't say it any better than that, I think. You know, we need to expect a lot of ourselves. There's no reason not to. The community can definitely handle it. I see we do have some live listeners. I've been going on for a while, and I've pretty much covered everything I wanted to make sure to touch on as far as these different transparency tools that we've introduced go. Anyone listening live now, if you do want to hop in, just raise that hand or pop that speaker roll on. But no pressure. I'll give it a moment, but I'll be wrapping up afterwards. All right. Well, great. That was fun talking to the world here, just a bit about my thoughts on transparency, on the tools available for community building, and on the priorities that drive that need for transparency. You can definitely find more information in the show notes here. There'll be a link out to the GitHub, link out to our website, and you can definitely keep reading more about our licensure there. And certainly, if you have any questions about anything, you can reach out to us either on Discord, here on X, or you can always email out to hi@ydrs.org. Happy to hear from anyone. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. Looking forward to speaking with you all again next week. And of course, having Alexandra on, that's going to be a great conversation. Don't miss it. Have a good one.